came to a conclusion that to refuse to pay to the agent fees because you warned him in advance, I'm not interested in paying agent fees, is not an acceptable claim according to halacha. What is acceptable is to say that you did a service for me, but I don't get any benefit from the type of service that you provided, because I could have got the same service elsewhere for free. Or,
this is one thing I don't understand about that other point. Let's say I hire someone to be a kabbalah for me.
That's if you hire.
What?
Hey, you didn't hire. You did work for me, which I didn't hire.
No, but let's say I hire someone, and I negotiate a price with him, and the price is way below market, and he can come to me afterwards and say, you know, I changed my mind. I had no intention of doing it to you for such a price. I'm taking it out for you like Yordas of Sdechalero.
We haven't discussed that. We discuss. We'll later tonight. Maybe we'll see that.
Well,
we discussed.
So no. We agreed that you're not going to charge me.
No, that's not called an agreement.
Why?
That is called that I said to you, you want to charge? You said, I won't charge. Okay, I won't charge. Yes?
So if I say you could charge me a dollar, that's an agreement. But if I say you could charge me nothing, that's not.
Now let me say like this. What did we see last week before we talk about your case?
Okay.
Because tonight we discussed many your case. Then we're discussing about a case which we haven't really. We saw last week. I phoned up. I've got a client for you who's going to buy your apartment. I'm an agent, and the answer is shows back. But I'm only willing for you to come if I'm not going to pay agent fees for you. So the agent doesn't say I agree. What does the agent say? The agent says okay. He says okay. Okay doesn't mean I agree with him.
Oh, and if he said I agree, that would...
No, we'll discuss now or soon.
Okay is different than I agree?
Yeah, okay doesn't mean I agree to the terms. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear that you don't want to pay me agent fees. And therefore, we came out with a conclusion last week that even though you said and warned me you're not going to pay me, at the end of the day, I gave you a benefit, you have to pay. If I didn't give you a benefit, you don't have to pay. The warning has no minor merit. What has ramifications for us is one factor. Did you benefit from his work? If you're telling me, by paying agent fees, I don't benefit, I wouldn't have gone through with the whole contract in the first place. Or you're telling me I could have sold it without agent fees, and therefore I didn't benefit from your service, then you've got a claim. But if at the end of the day, you benefit it, you have to pay, even if you give a warning up front, I'm not going to pay, doesn't mean.
It's an oral agreement.
That, by just saying okay, there's no agreement. Okay means I hear what you say, I understand your position, doesn't mean I've agreed to your position.
In normal parlance, when someone says a deny and the other party responds okay, he's agreeing to the deny.
No.
Now maybe he's having some kind of... Knetch had in mind, that's the one should
belong. Now we're going to talk about your knetch.
Okay.
Your knetch. That's when the agent phones up, he says, I've got a customer. He says, the seller says, okay, you can bring your customer, I'm not going to pay. Do you understand? You agree to those conditions. I'm not going to let you in the house unless you agree that you're not going to pay. Okay. So he says, I agree, I'm not going to charge you. Says clearly. Then he goes afterwards, before he brings the clients in, he goes in front of two witnesses and says to them, I'm being Mosa Moda. What am I Mosa Moda? That even although I said I agreed to the seller, that I'm not going to charge him any agent fees in bringing a customer. I'm being Mosa Moda that I only did it in order to get into the house to bring a client, but I have full intention of asking for wages through this service.
What do we care what your intention is? Yeah.
So tonight's shiur, we're going to discuss this concept of being Mosa Moda.
Okay.
Does it have halachic ramifications?
So that particular situation is Mosa Moda Tzadgimo in direct contradiction to what you said to the Baal Din himself.
Correct. That's which you're always Mosa Moda.
Which is not as bad as it could be.
Yeah, so this Shiloh came to Basin. And that's the Shaila we're going to discuss, but not at this particular time. We're going to discuss a Shaila which is relevant, relates to this, and we'll see if you can compare the cases. This Shaila came to base like this. That's what the Shaila we're going to start with tonight. We have Reuben and Shimon living in a building together. Reuben lives upstairs, Shimon lives downstairs. Shimon has already done some building work illegally, no permission. Okay. Reuben now wants to also do work illegally without permission from the area, and he starts to extend his apartment, which by doing that in the process it's going to create a adverse effect on Shimon who lives downstairs and make it all dark. Not all dark, but it definitely takes the light away, his building. So Shimon's not happy and he warns Reuven, if you continue building, I don't agree, I'm going to go to the area and I'm going to tell the area about your illegal building. Now, you're going to say, why would he do that? He himself made illegal work. Because, two reasons. Firstly, if you stop somebody in the process, as soon as you report illegal building in the process, that immediately they come down and stop work as it is. Yes? And you're in a position, a very difficult position, in your building work at that stage. Whereas you've already built it, it takes many years before anything is decided about your particular illegal status that you are. So therefore, Shimon is now threatening Reuven and reporting him in the process of his building to stop the building. You're not allowed to go ahead, otherwise I'm going to tell the area about your illegal process. So now Reuven goes to Shimon and says to him, okay, how much money do you want to allow me to build? Says, well, I'm not such a nasty person after all. I don't want so much money.
$20,000.
Give me $10,000. And I'll be okay with that. So says Reuven, okay, if that's what it takes, I agree. And they sign the document to that effect. Then Reuven goes, before he signs the document, before the signature on the document, he says the agreement. He goes to Aitim and witnesses this. I am being Moser Modah that Shimon is forcing me to give him $10,000, and I'm being forced into this situation because he's going to tell the authorities about my illegal work. So I'm being Moser Modah that even though when I sign the document
which
I'm going to deprive myself the $10,000, that signature is nothing because I'm being forced to do it. I don't intend to machayev myself in the signature to give him $10,000 in any case.
Are we dealing in a situation where the fact that the EVR says it's illegal and makes it halachically forbidden to do it?
No, we're discussing that at this moment.
What? Oh, so we're assuming that the EVR's rules don't count?
The EVR's rules, well, depends. Some of them do and some of them don't. We'll see. We may discuss that in these things.
In this case, are we saying the EVR's rules make it halachically impermissible or not?
The Medinat was not the Iriyah's rule.
What?
The Medinat
rule was the Iriyah's rule. The Medinat makes the rules, the Iriyah enforces.
Whatever. No, big difference. Are we saying the fact that it's the legal Alpi the Chok make it illegal halachically?
That in itself would not be irrelevant.
It wouldn't be relevant?
To halach.
Why?
The fact there's a Chok out there that doesn't make relevance to the actual halacha over there. Depends. If it comes a minad,
if it's halachically aser, then he really doesn't have the right to do it. If it's halachically aser, he really doesn't have the right to do it anyway. Yeah. So he's not being forced.
Yeah.
He's not being forced.
But we'll discuss. That's going to be the thing. But let's discuss the case. Yeah. Discuss cases like this. He's been forced. In his eyes, this is the way he says to witnesses. I've been forced to give $10,000 for what? To stop and go to the area. You should know before I sign the signature, I've been most of my day, I have no intention, no kamiris does, no intention to machayev myself to give $10,000, and therefore and be most motar to you the witnesses. That's what he does. And then he signs the documents. Then he bills, and then Shimon says, look, time to pay the $10,000. And he says, well, I'm not going to. What about this agreement? I'm not obligated. So now we're in business. Shimon is saying he owes me $10,000 because of this document he signed. And Reuben said, I'm not obligated because I got witnesses who said, Moser Motar beforehand, that says that the signature means nothing. So what's the halakha status of
such a modat? Has to be before the Moser or after?
Has to be before the Moser. Has to be before the Moser.
Before he signs the
before
contract.
Before he signs the document.
He has to say, somebody's about to coerce.
I'm being coerced into a situation which will make me give payment.
What if he says, I'm Moshe Moda, that I'm not being coerced, but I don't want to argue with the guy, he's a nudnik. So I'm telling you guys, what I'm about to do, I'm not really sincere.
Okay.
No time is over.
Okay. So now we're going to see where Moser Madar works and where it doesn't. What are the tannoim which allows Moser Madar to have an effect that will break up the agreement?
What does Moser Madar accomplish? In other words, what does Messias Madar do that just his thinking is not intended to do?
It becomes objective. It's shneidi. It's documented.
So it says like this.
No, let's say that everybody admits that that's what he was thinking.
So it says like this. It's like, how can you mix that to what he's thinking? Yeah, we'll see in a second why this first Maramokan will answer your question. So the Shulchan Aruch consideration, which is basically the Gemara Bava, Basta like this. Mishu Otsu Atshemochem. Somebody comes to him and says, I like your house, sell me your house, and if you don't sell me your house, I'm going to shoot you. So he said, okay. You're going to shoot me, or you're going to steal money from me? Otherwise, I'm not going to sell the house. Okay, I agree to sell the house. Mecha, mecha. The sale is a good value sale, even though he's being coerced into the situation. Beimatatsu, beimakako. It doesn't matter what he's selling, it's a good sale. Why? Because it may also come up a hot evener. Because he's in a difficult situation. So therefore, when he signs the document to sell, he wants to sell it. Why? To get himself out of the situation. That's what he wants. I got a property. He wants to steal from me or physically damage me. He says, unless I sell it, he will do that to me. So I have complete and utter give me a start to sell it to him to get me out of this sticky position. So I have give me a start. The sale's a good sale.
What's the difference between that and somebody coming up to me and pointing a gun at me and saying, give me your wallet? And I give it to him, and I'm Gomer Umakner.
Okay.
That's called theft.
Okay. Lefecha, therefore, in Mosa Modar Kodenshim. However, in a situation like this, if you would say a statement before you actually sign the document, the Omer, the Shnei Eitim, Shazer Shani Mocha Chavis Blaney, Osada Blaney, the Bernie Bay owners, that the reason why I'm selling this house is because the guy is threatening me. The guy was saying that he will physically assault me unless I sell my house. And I don't really want to sell my house. And therefore I'm telling you, the agent, that the only reason why I'm selling it is to get him off my back. But I don't mean to sell the house. By doing that, most of the door are in metal bottle, then it's bottle. So we see from here, if somebody comes and says to you, I will physically assault you unless you sell me a house, and then he goes and sells the house, the halacha is, the sale's a good sale. Why? Because you have kamiras, dust, and sell it, in order to make sure he doesn't assault you. But if, before you sign the contract, you go to Aiden and say, I don't want to sell the house, even though he wants to physically damage me, I have no kamiras, dust, to sell it. I'm only doing it and it's getting off my back, so it doesn't do anything to me. But I'm not convinced how to sell it. By doing that, the serious withdrawal, that will prevent the sale going through.
Why? Why do you have to sell it?
What?
Why
Why does he have to say?
Many situations, you see, some of the obvious things
that
have said.
So why do you have to? Why do we say you have to be Mosa Mozar in order to prevent the cell going through? Why do people think that you need the serious Mozar according to Salakwa in order to prevent the cell going through? It's obvious that the whole cell, like Eric is saying, should be obviously not valid even without selling Mozar. Because it's obviously being coerced. Coerced doesn't mean that you have Gemara's das for it.
Often in cells, underlying the cell is a situation that forces him. A person sells his house because he needs money for something else. A person sells his car because he needs an operation for his child. That situation also is a force. At the end of the day, he needs the money. He does. Versus where it's a matana where you're not getting anything for it.
Okay.
So then.
It's
not the same thing, is it? It's
all part of the spectrum. It's just making this worthwhile. It's all the more. It's just being madgish that it's worthwhile to make this sale. Versus, he's not getting anything back, and it's completely just to save himself.
So that is the pshat the Rashbam gives him to the Bava Basra. Very good. Rashbam says in Bava Basra, every sale is under coerce. You'll be coerced to sell. You don't really want to sell. Why do you want to sell? Because I'm financially in difficult straits. So therefore, my situation forces me to sell the house. Do I really want to sell the house? No. If I wouldn't have this financial situation, I wouldn't really want to sell the house. But nevertheless, the Torah says, in such a case, the sale is valid. So every type of sale has a certain level of coercion of the activity.
Here we're talking about when the buyer is the coercer. That's the difference. Why is the coercer? That's the gospel.
So people sell things all the time. People sell things all the time, not of course.
Yeah, all the time. There's a sale. I don't know if you have financial difficulties. Sometimes, other times, people sell things because of financial difficulties, because they need the money, or they need to downsize their expenses. So therefore, since every sale has an element of coercion in it, so this guy is also coercing you to sell it. So maybe at the time when you sell it, you say, look, I have Gemira's das to sell it because I've been threatened. So therefore, look, I'm getting money at the end of the day. I'm getting what the value of the property is. So therefore, yeah, okay, b'di'evit, I'm selling the property, but every sale is a b'di'evit.
If you're not getting the value of the property.
No, absolutely different between this and another one. Maybe you have a situation you need to, but that's not what they do. He's not the cause of your situation. He's the person who you have to sell it. He's causing you to do it.
Yeah, so why should that make a difference? If he's the cause or not the cause?
Because if you have another sale in the other situation, you look and decide who you're going to sell it to. You're not the person, the situation.
The way we're saying it is every sale doesn't need to have complete Gemira's das to be a valid sale. It has to be. I agree, b'di'evit. Agree, b'di'evit to sell is also good to sell. That's what we're seeing from here. He calls to be there, but it doesn't matter. If the level of agreement is b'di'evit, is also a good sell. That's what we see from the sale. And therefore, in order to prevent the sale going through, you have to be Mosa Mozar before the agent say, I don't even have a b'di'evit will to sell. You know, I have no Watson at all to sell. That's why, if you do that, then the sale is...
Why do I need a serious mother?
Somebody comes and says, give me your money or I'll kill you. If you
would think for a second, you would see that you will understand that there's no comparison to your case. Because how do I just define why the sale is valid? Why? Why is the sale valid? Because every sale is valid. Because you're too angry to have the concept of having a base kibble to understand. Yes?
There's no comparison with a situation where you need the money.
It's the other, correct.
Your life, I'm making you give him
not money for your life. That's not the comparison. It's a bit the advent rocks into the sand.
Someone's bought a property. Yes. He's laughing about it. He wants to realize profits. He doesn't need to sell the property.
You're giving examples when it's not coerced. I'm not saying examples where it's coerced.
You can't say every sale.
No, but you can't say that there are sales out there which are not with the advent. Of course there are, and there's no halacha that says with the advent sales are not sales.
It doesn't have to be all of them, are there other examples?
Yes. That's good enough for us.
Wait a minute. Why, if someone comes into my store and points a gun at me and tells me, okay, I want you to sell me that silver becher there, but I'm going to shoot you, and then I push the sign into my arm, why doesn't that exhibit that I really don't want to sell it?
Because we're pushing the alarm, does?
Why? That's not Messias Moldov.
Maybe that's also not Messias Moldov. Maybe that's also Messias Moldov.
So saying I just have to do something that indicates I don't want it?
Yes.
Not Messias Moldov if named.
What else? How do you indicate it?
I push the silent alarm.
There's a silent alarm. There's no silent alarm.
Oh, so you're saying that if I have other indications aside from telling to agent, that will also...
Yes. Okay.
Because he agrees to give you money. Why? Because he
says the Shulchan
Aruch.
Says the Shulchan Aruch. That Srichin, that is Moser Modar. Now we're going to make Eric really angry. That it only works to be Moser Modar to break the sale if you have a condition. What's the condition? Srichin Aiden Liyota Shu Mochot Neonus. The witnesses don't have to, not good enough to tell them, you know what, this guy's got a gun to me, and that's why I'm selling it. Your words don't mean anything. They have to know that he's got a gun to him, and that's why he's selling. They have to see the case in order to, the Mozart works.
Why?
Because maybe there was no, who says there was a gun?
No, so let's establish independently that there was
who
a gun.
Who says there was a gun? Okay.
There were different aid than that, okay. So there was a gun.
So the halacha is, if there's different aid, okay. But there has to be witness to the fact that you've been coerced.
Well, that's...
Being most of a dog by itself, without witnesses to the fact that it's been coerced, doesn't help either.
That's partial. It's the moment, so you can't just make up that I was honest. You have to prove it. But this saying those...
Shehu mocha b'nei ha'onus ha'onus v'atai lo shishom kop. If you can't just rely on his words that saying there's a guy with a gun. No, can't rely on the fact there's a guy with a gun. So even if you say beforehand, I don't want to sell this property to him, the witness doesn't mean anything to us unless we have witnesses that you've also been coerced at the same time.
When he says lo shiis mikval pin, is that referring to Beis Din or to the Eidim?
We, the Beis Din and the Eidim also can't rely, they can't write a mudar giving the impression that there is an onus without knowing there's an onus.
Why?
Because the lotion of the mudar is, we
but
know that there's
a... write it?
Yes.
What if he doesn't write it? That's an indication too if he doesn't write it.
Doesn't write it, it's a different thing.
It doesn't work if he doesn't write it?
If you want to write it. If you want to. Okay. Now, of course, the next line of the Shulchan Aruch answers Eretz Dimyon, which was no Dimyon at all. But Medrarim, when is this all true that you have to be Moser Motar to break the sale? That's Banacha, a sale. Where you're getting the money. You're getting money. I'm selling, I'm getting money. Bidyevid, I'm doing it, but I get the money. I got that money in exchange for the house. But if somebody coerces somebody to give a present, oh mechila, or somebody coerces somebody to give up his rights, ain't shrichin lahaki onso. They don't need to mark it onso, and it's not a good sale in the first place by just being most of the dar or the.
And what if it's a mechar at half price?
You can give a gift and take it back.
Yeah. Yes. If we know there's an onus, saying, here, give me your money or I'm going to shoot you. Let's say Eric's gun. Eric's case. Give me your money or shoot you. Of course, you don't need to say anything. It's not good. It's not good my presence at all. Because you're not getting anything in exchange.
You should say, in Srichin, Rinsor Modar, because they do need to know there's an onus at the end of the day.
No, onus, or just have to be Moser Modar. Either one is good enough.
If a person's Moser Modar, not a Matana, are you saying they're bigger than, and then even if they don't know that it's true?
That's what it's implicit over here. We'll discuss why that's true. Now, let's relate it back to our case.
What if it's a Mechar?
The Kalalim that we see from here. Is that if you're selling, which means I'm giving you something, you're giving me something in exchange. for me giving it to him. Even if it's under coercion, then it's a good sale. Unless you be Moser Modar, and the people in Moser Modar realize what the onus is. And then it stops it. Otherwise, it's a good sale. But if you're forced to give a present, then it helps just to be Moser Modar, to give the Modar before the present, even if they don't know the onus. Come back to our case. Our case is like this. That Reuven is upstairs and he's building an extension to his house. And Shimon downstairs doesn't like that extension because it's going to affect his light. So therefore he says, Shimon says to Reuven, he says, if you don't stop building, I'm going to tell the local authorities against you. So Reuven says to Shimon, and says, how much money you want in order not to do that? He says, $10,000. Reuven says, okay, he goes to Moser Modar and says, you know what, he's forcing me to give $10,000 in order to stop him going to the area. I have no intention to machide myself by signing the documents in a few minutes to $10,000. I'm only doing it to get him off my back. He tells that to the witnesses, and then he signs the documents. Now in Beis Din, is Reuven mechuyev to give that $10,000 to Shimon or not? According to the klal which we just did, does the Moser Modar stop it working or not stop it working? He obligated $10,000 to stop him telling the local authorities. He was Moser Modar before that obligation, that he doesn't intend to give them $10,000. Does thou mechuyev him the $10,000 or not mechuyev him the $10,000?
That's why I think it depends on whether halakhically it's also supposed to build without permission.
What?
He doesn't say give me money otherwise
I'm going to lose
damage.
Why most of us
are? You're not forcing him to sell something. You're saying you're causing damage. So fine, I'll pay you off. Why is it like I don't understand it?
So let's go.
It's not a
mecher
and it's not a
matana. He says, look, I'm going to go to the area unless you give me $10,000. And he says, okay, I'm going to machide myself for $10,000, but before I do that, I'll be most of those
times. I still think it depends on whether it's halakhically possible to build without the permission of the area.
You go to the
area,
I'm not sure.
Now, see the first question. Before we start the second question. First question. Let us assume it's like in the category of metal. Yes? So then most serious modes are you need. Let's say it's like the ketchup. You get the strange, getting your permission, and something going to the area. Let's say it's category of mecha. We'll discuss that in a moment if it really is. So you need with Moser Modar. But one of the conditions of Moser Modar to work is an order for the witnesses to see the onus.
There has to be an onus. Forget about seeing it. We don't even establish there is an onus yet.
There's
no onus. The guy was just lying.
Maybe he's lying, yes. Maybe he never threatened to go to the area. He said to him, I'm going to the area. I've going to the area. Give me $10,000 unless I'll go to the area.
That's not what he said. It's like Eric said.
Let's take that example. So, and I go to the witness and say, this guy's threatening me. And I'm being Moser Modar, they're not Machai. Do the witnesses know that he's being threatened? They don't know he's being threatened in such a case. They can't be so much up here. So the Modar won't work in such a case. And therefore you will be Machai in such a case. Okay.
But wait a minute. Reuven is admitting that he was Ayamar. He's admitting that he threatened him.
What?
Reuven is admitting that he threatened him.
No, not in No.
Oh, so how do we know this case has any sale on to begin with?
This is why he said he owes me 10,000 for the permission, and he says I was threatened and I got Mrs. Magar. That
is. But if you're claiming threatened, you have to prove that you were.
Yes.
Forget about Mrs. Magar. You have to prove you were threatened.
Because one of the conditions of Mrs. Magar works is only if you're being threatened.
No,
being
not
threatened.
Because of that. Because
yes, because of that. That's the reason why you went to
that road. Even if I don't need Mrs. Magar, let's say I don't need Mrs. Magar. Let's say it's Matana.
Yeah.
You still have to prove you were threatened.
Okay.
But you have to prove there was an onus. You can't just claim I was honest. You can't just walk in the basement and say I was honest. You have to prove you were honest.
Now the Shulchan Aruch continues. Peshara, if you're making a Peshara, Dinukam Mecha, it's got the halachas of a Mecha. And you have Mesiris Modal works only if the witnesses know that there's an onus, that you're being pressured. Mechila, giving up rights, Dinah Kamatona is like present, and therefore you don't have to, the witnesses don't have to mark in the onus. They don't need to know about the onus in order for it not to be a good present. Now tell me over here, is this a case like the Shora, where the witnesses need to know the onus and they don't, and therefore your mesiris dollar doesn't work and your mechuyev to pay $10,000? Or is it like mechila in our case, that you give it rights and therefore it's like matana, they don't need to know the onus and you don't need to pay the $10,000? Is it like mechila or mechila? Is it mechila or mechila? Why? I'm trying to get into your rush. Why?
Well, if you want to say it's a mechila, he's not giving up the rights. He didn't have the rights in the first place to give up.
Okay.
So he can't be giving up rights, for sure.
So what is it?
It's neither. It's a guy trying to do something he shouldn't do, and another guy trying to stop him, and the other guy who wants to do something he shouldn't do, turning him off. It's exactly the opposite. The other
so it's like mecha, you're saying. It's not for sure, it's not mechila, it's mecha. I'm trying to buy something. I'm trying to buy your permission.
I'm not trying to buy something by force.
Yeah, trying to buy something, you said.
The other first example is trying to buy something by force. He's not trying to buy something by force.
Okay.
Trying to buy something he's not entitled to.
Okay. So has anyone else got thoughts on what the case is?
I still think it depends on whether
you're with
the rejecting it together.
He shouldn't have a right to stop him from building inside the halakhas of the area. It's out Dine Shein. A person can't build near a person's window. A person can't ma'afil on another person. He said it's creating a dark area. The Shin halakhically have a right with Dine Shein to stop
him.
That's what it's called.
We first have
wait,
to. Do
why does it matter if it's Dine Shein or Dine the Yeah. It's halachically also, it's halachically
we also. Have to first discuss an assumption which Eric is making, and therefore we're going to first discuss whether the assumption is correct. The first thing is to discuss whether you're making an assumption. He was doing something he shouldn't do. What do you mean he was doing? Who says he was doing something he shouldn't do? Who defines that the building that he's doing is not halachically correct? How do you define that his action was something he had no rights to do, and therefore he needed the other guy in order to allow him to do it, and therefore he's buying those rights? Why are you making such assumption? What defines whether how lucky he had the right to do? Maybe he doesn't need his permission. On the sad, now let's go further. On the sad, he doesn't need permission, and you're threatening. You threatening me to go to the Iriyar to stop it, and I halakhically can do it even without the Iriyar to give me permission. If that's halakhically correct, then you're threatening on me something. I've got a right to build. I've got a right to build. I don't care about the Iriyar and the Chukka Medina, because halakha doesn't relate to that, maybe. Sometimes it does, maybe not. But let's first discuss. If halakhically it doesn't relate to it, therefore you're threatening, let's put it the other way. Who's doing right and who's doing wrong now? Reuven's building something halakhically he's allowed to do. And you're coming and saying, I'm going to stop you doing something you're halakhically allowed to do with a threat. If you continue doing something which you're allowed to do, I'm going to put you in prison. Which halakhically you don't deserve. By putting you to the area, I'm going to stop cause all rights and kanasas and problems for you, which you halakhili don't deserve. And therefore, you do it, otherwise you're going to end up in prison.
So there's no problem.
So therefore, in such a case...
There's no problem.
In such a case, who's being coerced and who's doing the things which are illegally assigned? Halakhili, Reuben's allowed to build. Halakhically, Reuben's allowed to build, and comes along Shimon and says, I'm going to put you in prison, I'm going to stop you building, which is halakhically awesome for him to do. And he says to him, what am I going to do to get this lion off my back? So I have to promise him $10,000, which he doesn't deserve. So it's Matana. In order to get him off my back, threatening things which he's not allowed to do. So therefore, of course, in such a case, it's called a Matana. On the other hand, if you say halakhic he's not allowed to build, and he comes and says, okay, if you continue building, which you're not allowed to do according to halakha, I'm going to sell you to the area. So then he says, okay, I still want to continue building, even though halakhically I have no rights. In order for me to be able to build, even though halakhically I have no rights, I have to get your permission. So here's $10,000 to get your permission. So of course, in that case, not a matona. He deserves the money because I need his permission. Because halacha says I need his permission in such a case. And in order to get his permission, he's saying, "What my permission? Give me $10,000." So okay, I'm buying your permission. Where's the onus in such a case? So that is, if you look at the Rashba, how he sets it up. Shenishal Aruben Shatova Mishim. A shaila that Reuben came and claimed against him. To be a shenu zuk bebetim. Reuben is saying to Shimon, I'm going to do something which you're not entitled to. Verbita, and he says to him, he makes him frightened. Shinlo yitinlo, osa amas. If you don't give me money, yashin v'yimtza osa melech. I'm going to hand you over to the local authorities. Okay? V'omadech v'asa b'shar v'nehem. Bikinyin v'bitzel mota. So they came to agreement, and he was forced to give money in order to stop him going to the area. Now Shimon says, hey, you owe me money according to the agreement. So he says to him, I'm not going to give it to you. So you sure? I only gave it to get away the lion off my back because you were going to take me to the courts, you're going to take me to the authorities which had no rights. He says, what do you mean? You signed the documents. Heshiv says the Rashba, Shatin and Shimon. Shimon doesn't have to pay. And they should own the soya. Because he was a lion. He had perfect rights to do what he was doing, and he's been threatened. I'm going to stop you doing what you're allowed to do, and unless you give me $10,000, that's course. It's an onus. Therefore, to your habit, it's like a forcing someone to give a present, and it's, therefore, it's not machayavim to give the money. So the Rashba picks it up clearly. If he's allowed to do his action and you're trying to stop him, that's called you're forcing him to give a present, you don't have to give the present. If he's not allowed to do the action and you want money in order to do the action, that's not called a present. You're not allowed to do it. If you want to do it, you give me money. That's called a mercha. Then you're all entitled to $10,000. That's how the Rashba is set. So now let's look at the halach over here. Was Reuben allowed to build over Shimon without his permission? Has he got halakhic rights to do that? If he has, then Shimon's not entitled to the money. He's been forced to give a present. You're not entitled to any money. You have no right to be. I can build in without your permission. You're telling me I have to give $10,000 to stop you putting me in prison, which I know halakhic you have rights. So of course, you're forcing me to give a present. It's not valid. But if he has no rights, then you're entitled to $10,000. So what's the halakh? The halakh is like this. Mi shohaisa chalom b'kosto. If somebody has a window in Bar Chaver, Livnos Kosa Kaneda Chalon, and somebody else wants to build, which is going to affect that window, Kiyesh Yasa Hezikri Yasa, the Sark Lahakik has Kosa Mikro Chalon Zanda, Amos Kadesh Lo Yapel. In order that you should not affect that window, that it should take light away, you have to distance yourself a certain amount of distance. Daladams. If you distance yourself down the amas, you can build. But if you don't distance yourself down the amas and you're taking away his light, then he has no light right to build.
It's not how high the wall is, and even down the amas it is. 20 feet high, it's still going to block the sunlight.
Dalai Lama's makes no difference.
Really? I could build the Empire State Building if I wanted, as long as Dalai Lama's away?
If Dalai Lama's away, then you can, unless we have special contractual obligations. Now, so what's the halacha says? The halacha says, I don't care about any chok hamedina, unless it's actually written in the contracts that you bought from the builder, which present day good kavlonim actually puts in their contracts. Yeah. And the good lawyer would point that out to the kavlon. That would say, when you're building, if you want there to be less issues of here, put the actual chok hamedina inside the contract. Because then when you're signing it, you're obligating yourself to those rules, not because of dinner, which is very shaky in Eretz Yisrael, as we'll have a whole lot of shearing of that in Eretz Yisrael. But you're, in such a case, when you put it in the contract, you're obligating yourself to sign the contract. But it's not such a common thing, especially until recently, that you have actually written in the contract, and therefore it's no contractual obligation. It's the actual hope. Yeah, doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference. I didn't sign Tabo. I didn't sign it. If you want to be contractual obligated, you have to have your signature on it. Can't say the folk is behind in such a case, unless you go with the Nachman of dinner, which will have a lot of cheering of why it's very shaky and it's as well such a concept. Now, so therefore, if we're not going to be obligated by the folk, then we can only go according to how the halacha sees things, pure halacha without contractual obligations. And that is, are you damaging him in his light by your building? If you are, you're not allowed to build. If you are not, then you're allowed to build.
The only damage is light?
What?
The only damage that's possible is light?
Light or Hezek Ria.
Okay. Also, if I could look in this kitchen.
Yeah, there are a few types of damages which is working. So therefore, in this particular case, Reuven's building did affect his light. It did affect his light, and therefore, halachically, Reuven needed the permission of Shimon to build, and Shimon has all the rights to say, I'm not going to let you build. If you want me to let you build, then pay for the rights. So therefore, he was entitled to ask for the $10,000, and therefore it's not a matana, it's a mecha in such a case. A mecha, there's no onus. I'm saying, I want me to let you build, give me $10,000.
How do you define them, the tmura of the mecha? So what is the tmura of the mecha?
Tmura of the mecha is, without my permission, you can't build. So if you want to be able to build and get my permission, my signature, so to speak, to give the permission, then you need to give me $10,000 to get that.
He's giving up his right on the sunlight.
I have a whole halakhic right to make an objection to the building. You don't want me to object.
He's giving him an easement.
Yeah. So therefore, pay me. What? That means when you have this exchange, there's a certain exchange going on. I need you, you need me, so therefore we come to an agreement. It's got the halachas of a mecha, which means that it's valid unless we know there's a real owner.
Somebody came and made a b'shara between you.
Yes?
And here it says somebody came and made a b'shara between
you. What b'shara means, I want to extort $10,000. Instead, you're extorting $5,000. Then today, even $5,000 is extortion if it's extortion. Therefore, it's not valid. But if it's not extortion, means I have a total right to stop you, then it's called an exchange, a mecha. Therefore, it's totally valid. Now, the only icing on the cake is like this. Like I mentioned at the beginning, Shimon also did illegal building. Shimon also did illegal building. The fact that Shimon downstairs did also legal building, does that change the halacha which we just spoke out? At the moment we're halting, Reuven has no right to build without permission of Shimon, because Reuven is damaging Shimon. In order to that get permission, he has to buy the permission. $10,000 is buying, so therefore you can't say it's extortion.
Did his illegal building affect Reuven? If not, then what's going on?
So if the building of Shimon is a type of building which was illegal and halakhically illegal, because it's the type of thing which needed Reuven's permission, because it affected Reuven as well, then you've already got your exchange. I mean, that if you build illegally, halakhically illegally, and I don't object, that's out tonight, that when I build illegally and affects you, also you should be able to object. As long as the levels of damage is the same.
You have to speak it out to make it tonight. You can't just make up your own tonight.
Correct.
It
depends. It depends on the, are we talking about the same types of damages or not? If it's the same types of damages, then it's understood over here, this type of damage, I'm not going to object. As long as you're going to give into exchange something, what's called exchange, enabling to do the same type of damage to you.
I never agreed.
Even without agreement, I can still object now.
It's still mechira, it's still this for that.
Yes.
So, Kozman, it's still mechira.
You can't object now.
So, you already got a mechira. You can't ask 10,000, you already got it.
You can't object now.
So, no, you know what? If you want to object now, so I'm objecting on your original building as well.
You can't. I've been here 3 years, I got a chazak already.
It was out tonight.
You never said it tonight.
It's a built-in
tonight. And you never did a machar. The chazak is done.
No, it's a built-in tonight.
It's a chazakah.
It's a built-in tonight that when you build in a binyan mishutach,
where's such a built-in tonight?
That in a way that affects the neighbor has automatic rights to build in the same way that affects you.
Where do we get such a built-in tonight from?
That's how das kein shutfin lo. That's how shutfin lo.
Not in this country.
No, that's not how they don't see it. That's how they work. So, therefore, we have to analyze the building of Shimon to see whether his damage was on the same level as Reuben, whether to see whether he's already received something that changed or not.
So wait a minute, what about if there's a mechira for less than full value? Is that also in the same category?
So now, based on this klal, we come out with, I'm going to summarize where we're holding. Coming out like this. If it's a sale, the sale's valid even if it's under coercion, unless you be Moser Modar and the witnesses recognize there's an onus over here that sees that it's not a valid sale. If it's a present, then all you have to do is be Moser Modar beforehand, even if they don't know that there's an onus, that stops the present being a valid present. Okay? How to find presents and not is whether you're getting something in exchange or not getting something in exchange. Whether, if you're getting something in exchange, it's called a present, a sale. If it's not, then it's called a matzah. Now let's go back to our case of the tzuvah. The agent phones up and he says, I've got a customer for your house. So the seller says, Bakasha, come round to my house. But you should know, Marosh, I'm only letting you in if you agree that you're not going to charge me any agent fees for this customer that you bring. So this agent says, I agree. Before he brings down the customer, he's Moser Modar and saying, even though I said I agree, I only did it in order to get the key to his house to show the person into the house, but I have no intention of doing this for free and I'm going to charge the seller full agent fees in the event the sale goes through. That's how it's been Moser Modar. Is it a valid Mesiras Modar that will prevent, which will now allow him to charge for his services as an agent, or not in such a case?
He publicized no agent fees. So I don't know if that's considered to be, it's knowledge about, if that's considered to be an onus, I don't know if that's considered to be an onus, of course it doesn't have to do it.
There's no onus here at all.
It's not an onus. If it was considered to be an onus, then we know about it, but
there's
I don't
no
think
onus.
It's an onus.
No onus.
There's deception.
No onus. There's no onus. Is that an onus here? There's no onus over here. Yeah? There's definitely an onus. Yes? But there's one thing we have to understand over here. Is it a mecha or matana?
I think it's mecha.
Is it a mecha or matana?
I think it's mecha.
You think it's mecha?
Yeah, because I, the seller, am selling you the right to enter my house on condition that you give up your right to the agent fee.
Okay. You say that. Anyone disagree? Giving up my rights for wages, for agent fees, is that a matana or mecha?
Depends why you're doing it.
It's a matana.
Depends why you're doing it.
Okay, to get in to the house.
So that, no, if I pay you for that, then it's a mechira. I am paying you for that. I'm giving you the right to enter my house and show this to your buyer.
What happens if you go to somebody and you say, look, sell me your house for $1?
Right.
Is that a matana or is that a mecha?
It's partially matana, partially mecha.
$1.
No, I'm not interested, Eric. You're on the wrong call tonight. We'll talk about it later. I'm not interested.
$1 is $1.
If you sell that house for $1, it's a matana. It's a matana. Yeah? It's the agent fees. He's giving up 2% in order to have the right to enter your house. Is that $1?
No, that's not $1. I'm doing it in order to get the 3% from the buyer. He's doing it for a very good reason.
So, think about it till next week.
Not next week, next
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
You never beat
to
the front. He gets things from the other side.
You won't beat.
It's worth his while anyway. He gets things from the other side.
Now you're thinking. Now you've got your head from there. Yes, he's getting something from the other side. So you have to see whether that makes it to me. You have to go with a, if it's a matana, what we got.